Good morning.
It's good to be with you guys. I'm not ready for this heat yet. I don't know why. It's not about being ready. It comes no matter what you think. But, want to talk to you about something that had a couple things hit me too about getting in the secret place with Jesus. There is no place like the secret place. And when we even look in the scripture, I think of so many things. But I think of the secret place of being with Jesus, and I think about the need for the silence. The body's going to have to get a hold of this. This is the part of relational, and we really need to grab it, because if you're in a relationship with the Lord, then you're spending time with Him, and if you're not, then what kind of relationship you're having. You know, it's interesting. It almost seems like in every subject matter of spiritual truth that God has made, it seems like the traditions of man or the traditions, our own baggage, tend to become the way we approach our faith. That is problematic, because the traditions of man, it says, will make ineffective or null and void the word of God, meaning also what the promises, the power, and all these things. And I want to talk about that. And even as we're getting in here, hang on just a second. Jesus said something. He said, when you pray, you're not to pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by man. They have their reward in full. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is in what is done in secret will reward you. And talking about the need to still the noise down, to intimately get with Jesus. There is no substitution. The church in 2021 is going to figure this out. They're not going to pass the goal of the power of God or the transformation of God without truly understanding what it is to get in the secret place. This will mean that we're going to have to figure out the stumbling block of social media, the stumbling block of constant noise. We're going to have to. I want to give you something, and we're going to need this. But when I talk about getting in the secret place kind of prayer as a connecting with Jesus, it's two-way. You know you're in His presence. You know you're touching His hand. It changes you. Anybody can shout some prayers, and I've rarely met a Christian that can't pray things properly. I've met a ton of Christians that can't pray, and what I mean is their connection with God is nothing more than the things they shoot out of their mouth. This is not some accusation. I've been there myself, but when I'm trying to get into the subject of getting back to the secret place with Jesus, even based on, we're going to look in Matthew in a minute, we need to understand the kind of prayer we need to have. We need to have the kind of connectivity to Jesus. And again, the reason I bring this up, because it has disappeared. And in the church, and I'm talking about with the individual. You can run around and pray with other people, but the aspect of really getting it with Jesus, and you know you're spending time with Him, and He's there with you, and you're there with Him, is the thing that actually changes us. We've got to behold the glory of the Lord. It's about His presence. Even a while back when I said that the currency of the kingdom is going to be the presence or the glory of the Lord, it really relates to this. Because if you're not coming into presence, and I'm not talking even about a worship service where there's some warm fuzzies and good feelings. That's awesome. But I'm talking about an absolute time with Jesus. You're entering in. Do you want to change? Do you want the chains to fall off? Do you want the bondage to really break? Do you want the emotional bondage to break? Get in the secret place with Jesus. Now, I said something this morning too, is God is not mocked, for whatsoever we sow, we reap. I said that because as we were worshiping, the Spirit of God was bringing these. He was bringing these absolute scriptures to my, not scriptures, just, but it is a scripture, but He was bringing it to my spirit. Like, you sow in righteousness and you reap. We got to start understanding, even when I talk about getting in the secret place, that's also speaking about sowing. You're going to reap what you sow. And again, the problem is we keep asking God to do things in our life and to bring things about And we're actually asking them to ignore the way we sow and to magically make something happen that we will not sow to. But sowing in prayer, sowing in the secret place with Jesus is so critical. It's really the thing that changes you, and we'll get into that. But we need to understand there's a glory in Christ that is better than Sinai. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 3:7 with me. And we'll get back into Matthew shortly. Many times we realize that the secret place has been chewed away at and no longer remains. Many times we do that, but we kind of go, you know, it's a drag. I'm just not spending time with the Lord the way I used to. What we don't understand, even when we say that, and I've said it myself, is that we have been cut off. We have cut ourselves off from the divine power of God and the ability to be transformed and metamorphosized in our own life. So as you would say that and go, that's a drag, you got to get a grip on it. Because when you're saying that's a drag, you're actually talking about something that cuts off life. So if I say, you know what, in the last 6 months, I've just lost that secret place with the Lord Jesus. I just haven't been able. What I'm actually saying is for 6 months, I've been out of touch with my Savior in a way to where I need to, because I need to know what to do. I need transforming power in my life. I want to be free. I want the bondages, the chains to break off. These aren't comments that we say with a little wince of pain and we walk away and say, what a drag. These are comments that spell out a current existence that is nowhere near what Jesus wants us to have. It says 3, 7, and 8, 2 Corinthians 3, 7, and 8. It says, speaking of the time when Moses was on Mount Sinai, it says, but if the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? So as Moses, we know this, he's up on the mountain and he's actually speaking to God, it says, face to face, like a man speaks with a friend. He comes down from the mountain, he doesn't realize it, but as he's sitting there with God, his face, it shined. And he covered it because it was actually kind of startling and he had to put a veil over his face. But what glory he had was fading because as he came in contact with the Lord, it had an effect, but it was a temporary effect even on his physical being. But as he came down away from the face of God, stuff changed. And what the implication of glory and in the ministry of life, of, you know, of grace of God is the ministry of glory. That you start to understand that it's saying, how much more will the glory? So, but all this connects to really being with Jesus. It connects to having the encounter, seeing the face of God as you're looking into the face of your Savior, as we get into the secret place with Jesus by ourselves. There are Christians that are walking around that have lived decades, and they have never taken the time, nor were they interested in even developing the secret place with Jesus, the countenance of God, and it's like you walk around blindly trying to figure out God, when Jesus says, you know, I've been sitting here waiting for you to meet me in the secret place. I want to speak things that will revolutionize your life, but I can't. You don't stop. You don't stop moving. You don't stop thinking. You don't sit with me. And when you got idle time, you fill it with some kind of filler, like so many of us do, noise. But it says that the glory of the ministry of Christ is, it's even more glory. So it's given this impression that in Christ, we have this Sinai in our heart where we can meet with God and that glory doesn't fade. My face won't shine. My body necessarily at this point, it isn't looking any different. My hair isn't shining. My face isn't shining. But it brings this concept, but it is not open-ended in that, hey, it's good to know in Jesus I'm walking in a greater glory. Ask yourself, how many believers do you see walk in a greater glory? Because something is true, even theoretically, because God did it, and He asked us to have, how can I say this? He asked us to have this interactive relationship with Him. we can walk around, it's like having money in the bank that you never spend. But the ministry of life of grace is of glory. And I realized, even as I was working on this and the Lord had dropped it on my heart, I realized that months ago I gave a word and I said that the presence of the Lord and really also the glory of the Lord is going to be the currency in the kingdom. And even when the Lord spoke that to me, I started praying and say, Lord, you know, cause that to be, but anything of value or currency is something you value. And I understood later that I really misunderstood the thought I was getting, because I'm like, well, that's cool. God changed people. What he was telling me is I'm going to make it, the people of God are going to once again value my presence. It's going to be their currency. Right now, it's really not. In fact, getting in the secret place with Jesus is presence. And yet you can tell me, in fact, if you want to see what the body of Christ values, just take a look at what it doesn't do and what it does do. If you want to look in your own life and see what your currency is, just take a look at what you spend most of your time doing. Take a look at what you spend most of your time chasing, and you're getting a very clear sense of what you regard as real currency. We don't waste time on things we don't value, therefore we don't do them. This is the other thing where there needs to be a paradigm shift where people need to better understand that all of us. And I realize that we are, I realize that the noise that has come, it doesn't have to be bad that we interconnect. But you know, you think about who doesn't use the internet? I do, you do. Who doesn't do that? Who doesn't read news on their phone? Who doesn't read Bible on their phone? Who doesn't look at something? But I realize we put ourselves in a hole in such a degree that we're gonna have to start putting things aside. We're going to have to start dropping our utensils and our noisemakers. Because at the end of the day, there's a glory waiting. 2 Corinthians 3:11, same chapter, says, "For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is glory." And Paul is working off the Moses on Sinai story. Moses came down, so there was a separation. And when there was a physical separation from God, there was a fading effect in his life. Now, we don't know a lot about what Moses felt about that. We know that he covered his face, it shone. And he covered it because also it was fading. It was going away. But according to this ministry of Jesus, this ministry of mercy and grace we've partaken in, it has a glory that remains. It doesn't fade. So it's in a sense, in the spirit, you're connected with the Lord. In the spirit, by the blood, his face is there for you to behold. But that's even leads us to the secret places so desperately, desperately needed. It is not, you cannot substitute it. You cannot substitute it. I talk about walking and remaining glory in my life. And there are times and seasons I can tell you that my secret place, it was gone. I was Christian. I did Christian things. I worshipped. But my secret place was bankrupt. And it shows. It shows big time. And it's funny because anything I'm talking about you cannot do, and it necessarily won't scream off of your being. It won't say, somebody will say, I know what you're not doing lately. But the reality of what kind of person it makes us, walking and remaining glory or not walking and remaining glory. But I would think the enemy, if he does one thing, this should be a feeding source for our spirit, and yet it's become a rarity that we can't say we do at all many times, many Christians. You know, the statistics lately about the body of Christ, what believers believe is true, how much of the scripture they believe is actually true, the percentages would blow your mind, but the solution's really simple. When you get a group of people under a banner, Christian, that have no internal life with their Savior, even though they really are saved, you'll get all kinds of numbers that are ridiculous, and you'll get all kinds of lack of faith. You'll get all kinds of disbelief in the Savior. There's no intellectual version of this. This is part of the problem. We steep ourselves in the right words, the right verses. In fact, in a lot of ways, to me, we market Jesus because we say a bunch of things that really patently aren't true in our own life, but we say them anyway, and we pass them to others, and we teach others the idea of gathering information without the living divine realities in the knowledge they have. Oh boy. Yeah, it's totally on. It's totally connected. Did you look in the... Yeah, absolutely. Hang on a second. No? Can you hear it?
It's hard to hear. Barb said there was no song behind her. She couldn't hear it.
Hold on a second.
There's muffling going on right now.
Can you hear anything now? No? No?
No, there was muffling before. Oh, now I can. Now I can hear it.
I wonder if it's the mic going out.
Can you hear me now? No? No?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You can hear me?
Yep.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. Keep an eye on it, Matt. Somebody, Josh, could you keep an eye on it? I'm sorry about that, guys.
It's a little bit, we can hear you, but it's like there's like a little bit of crunchiness going on. Maybe it's something
try
in your pocket.
Try putting the thing in your...
Yeah,
on the stand.
This is getting ready to go.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
No movement. How about this, guys? Still,
yeah,
like
there
that?
Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
Better?
Yeah.
No crackling? Okay. Okay. Back to the noise issue. We needed noise, and we didn't have it. Okay. Let me recap just a little bit. You can't hear me. I talked about getting into the secret place with Jesus one-on-one. I talked about intimacy. It's not just that you pray, but it's the kind of prayer and the quality of prayer you begin to have. Okay, and I'm trying to do a recap. I read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 8. If the ministry of death and letters engraved on the stones came with glory, that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? And I talked about the life of grace being the life of God's presence in the grace of God through Jesus. Our lives are our functions for Christ, our powerful thing. Moses beheld glory when he was with God, but when he was away from God, the glory fades. Okay, guys? So we are walking in a remaining glory, and it's about where we were coming on to. 2 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For if that which fades away was with glory, more than that which remains is glory, is in glory. We have a glory that's not fading, but we need to get a hold of that glory." And I was just about to say, when thank God for our people listening and making a comment, I'm so grateful. Glory is not common, but then that would mean that we cannot be common in our lives. And I think one thing the enemy does, he makes a lot of noise, he makes us restless, he stops us from getting one-on-one with Jesus. He busies us, he puts noise in our head, and it's like, we've got two things that occur. You either have noise that is coming about in your mind, or noise that is around you, and we get addicted to it. So stillness is something we don't do. Okay, you guys with me? Glory's not common, but I think the enemy tries to make our lives just hung up in mediocrity and just common. He wants us hung up in temporal things, noisy things. He wants us, basically, it's like being in a partial coma to his presence. And if we come in the secret place with Jesus, and we will read in Matthew where the Lord actually tells us about prayer, the enemy wants to weigh you down with fruitless, mundane mediocrity. He wants you kind of with this, it's like a hum in your spirit. He doesn't want you to ever think. He wants you to be caught up in temporal pleasures. He wants you to be temporal. He wants you to be mere men and women. God wants to meet with his people. And the one thing is, if you take time with Jesus in a real way, and I was talking to my brother Bruce last night. I said, it would be awesome even if Christians could start truly doing the one-on-one thing to sit with their Savior 15 minutes in a day. In fact, don't bite off a big chunk of the apple. Try 15 minutes. Get alone with him. And when you're alone, don't be thinking of the thing you're going to do when the 15 is up. Start sitting with him. Start pitching your ear. Start understanding that there's a lot more when you're dealing with Jesus and tied into him. And it's like a heavenly connection that keeps you in that place. So getting alone with Jesus in the secret place is so essential. In fact, it's the one that really, where we started, that's one of the ways we acknowledge the glory and it's not fading. Because we're in the presence of the Lord, technically, all the time. Because the access is there, because the face of the Lord Jesus, his son, is towards us. He wants us to understand this. But this needs to come back, and the currency of God is his presence, and being with Jesus is that currency. And it's amazing. And, you know, ask yourself a question. And I say this to myself as well. When you got time, what do you do with it? Seriously, and I'm not even talking about all your time. When you got some spare time, are you anxious to sit with him at all? Now, some people, listen, I understand as I say that some believers have never had such an experience with Jesus. I get it. And I actually, many believers have been kept busy enough to where they've never stopped. And then when they try to stop, it's awkward because it's like a tryout. You know, I did this, it didn't work. I don't know how that works. It didn't work. I've heard this before from people. I'm not knocking it, but it's like, what do you mean it didn't work? What did you think was supposed to happen? When we sow to the natural and we sow to idleness and we sow to laziness, this is where this really comes in. A lot of times we're directly affected by the reaping of what we've sown. And when we sow nothingness, it reaps more nothingness. So when we, you know, try to sow a little seed of the secret place and we go, oh, I prayed for half hour. I don't even understand it. God didn't do anything. It's like, really? But you spent the last 10 years completely ignoring the closet. You've sown nothing. So why were you thinking throwing a half seed that was cracked into the ground and then you walked away like somehow it failed? This is what I mean. Getting in the secret place with Jesus is so critical. And understanding, in fact, these truths I'm speaking are rare. They're not radical. These are practice things, and we'll get into when Jesus, how he told us to pray. 2 Corinthians 3:17, there's just some really amazing stuff that we sit under the glory of the Lord presently, okay? We sit under the glory of the Lord presently, and we can do that, all right? Now, I want to read it. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is equated, meaning when you feel the presence of the Spirit, you're dealing with Jesus. Now, this is why Paul brings this up, because back in the world of those days, many people took a lot of this and separated it. Well, that was the Holy Spirit, but that wasn't Jesus. Or that was the Father, but that wasn't the Spirit. And he gives this simple equation for the church. It's going to be a place of God's dwelling glory, meaning the believer. And the Spirit is Jesus. So meaning when we're sitting and praying and the Spirit of the Lord is, there is Jesus. And this is important because the spring brings glory, but really that glory is Jesus in our midst and his presence. It's not fading and we need to pay attention to it. But the thing is, this struck me the first time I read it because it said that when we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And it just grabbed me because I hear people say, I want to get free of this. I want to break free of this. And listen, we need to pray, God, deliver us. As Christians, we need to say, God, free us more, because there is not a total liberty. And it's funny because it talks of Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And a lot of times we've used this in like, hey, we're together to worship and dance around, you got liberty. And it's a lot deeper. When you really connect and you get in the secret place with Jesus, beholding his glory, it says it transforms you. Really, the liberty you have in the Spirit is freedom. Not freedom to dance, freedom to worship. We've used this thing and ignored all the scripture around it for years, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. We need to behold Jesus in the secret place. To behold isn't an exercise in, Lord, do this, do this, do this. Thank you, God. I'm going on my way now. To behold the Lord is to sit with him. To behold the Lord, we get one-on-one with him. This changes our lives. A lot of lives are untransformed, not because the scripture fails, because we don't get in that place. The thing that bothers me, many people will come to Christ and even walk away from Christ, never, ever having truly been in the secret place with Jesus. Many will make judgments on the depth of Christianity based on a strictly an intellectual level they never entered in. They don't have a clue. I'm not insulting anybody, but I'm saying this so you can get a grip. We need to explain to people. There was a movie I saw once, and it was about to have a nuclear war between the United States and Russia. It used to be a popular kind of paradigm. But the person says, you know, he's trying to get the... He said, I'm here to get the right information to the right people. They're basing their movement on bad intelligence. And it was a total scam what they were almost about to go to war with. It's the same thing with Christians. Many Christians are making decisions and they're lazy and they're unmotivated. They're not entering in the secret place. They literally are acting, living, and acting out and making decisions based on bad intelligence because they have not touched the glory. You get a laziness, you get a literal lackadaisical kind of attitude when you come into the presence of the Lord because we don't train ourselves for it, we don't sow seeds to it, we do nothing with it. And yet, what floors me about the American body, because I live here and I can speak for the American church, so many times people are going, hey, what's up, God? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why is my home like this? And it's real simple. And I almost think we do that on purpose because we block the realities of what we're not doing. And we pretend that we're ready for something that we don't even want to sow to. If you don't sow to something, don't expect a harvest. Do expect the harvest of what you sow into. If that's nothing, then you'll reap nothing. If it's coldness, you'll reap coldness. If it's busyness, you'll reap more busyness. All these things we sow, they multiply. But the thing that grabbed me is that when I behold him, behold, the word is behold, when I behold him, when I come with Jesus, it says that that transforms me. Not if I go to church 1,000 times, not if I read the latest paperback book or hear the latest preacher on the radio or watch the latest YouTube prophet, but it actually says, when I behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the very glory of God. When I behold in that mirror, it says, then I'm transformed. As I see him, as I behold the glory, it actually has an effect on my being. You want to see the changes that you've waited for, that you've asked God to deliver you? Then get with Jesus in the secret. This is a simple but profound answer. It's simple in that I can say it. It's profound and many times difficult because of the way we style our lives, because of the addiction of noise, busyness, social media. We are getting whisked away from the secret place. And the church, it's going to be like a gun without bullets. It'll have no ability to fight anything. I've had times in the secret place, and let me explain something. In my life, no matter what ministry I did, no matter where I went, no matter what decisions I made, all of the big ones and the clear ones always came in the secret place. They never came in the masses. They never came while I was praying with others. They came in the secret place because Jesus desires to meet us in the secret place. And the secret place isn't in the crowd. The secret place isn't in the noise. The secret place is the secret place. And actually, that dictates you and Jesus alone. If you start to sow to that, he will introduce himself to you. And it's interesting. We got to get a hold of Jesus. There are times that I've come into the secret place and my direction changed drastically because when I finally took the time to sow into that, and Jesus actually spoke to me, I came out of the room stunned. Even though I was a Christian, even though I loved the Lord, I was in church, I was even in ministry, but I can think of so many major forks in the road where I got in the secret place, truly connecting with Jesus, and then he began to speak to me. And I was so off. Many things I was involved with, he wasn't in them. Even Christian things, even things that you see in the Bible, I was doing ministries that just, they weren't there for real. Now, I want to read, we're going to do this, and I appreciate you bearing with me to do kind of the recap, because are we still good with power, sound? Okay, awesome. Matthew 6:5, we're going to read this in 6 again. Jesus wants to get with you, and in the church, this is what he's going to do. When he told me the currency is going to be the presence, my presence, I didn't realize he was telling me what the church was going to come to. Can you imagine the church getting quiet in its spirit and no longer running ragged looking for another activity to deafen itself while the secret place of Jesus is left completely vacant? And I want to say this. The secret place is also where your relationship with Jesus flourishes. It's interesting because if anybody's ever had a mate, a wife, or a good friend, how many times do you see that to where you need to be one-on-one with them? You can't be with 10 people. You don't grow in your romance hanging out with 45 people. You don't. nor do you grow in your romance with the husband, the groom, Jesus, and you're the bride, nor do you do that. In fact, do you understand even our name, the Bride of Christ, dictates intimacy and one-on-one stuff? The very title we were called speaks to the secret place. So part of your identity as the Bride of Christ, literally, God already put it in the name and showed you the nature of you and Him. But it's funny, this bride comes with the groom and brings 35 people, TVs, noise, blah, 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 into the room with their groom. That doesn't work in any world on any level if you actually look at the course of nature. Matthew 6:5 says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Are you catching the wording here? And actually, no matter what language in the Greek, when you read this, the implication is really simple, and I don't think we need Greek for this. When you go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Did you notice what it says? When you go pray, get in the secret place with Jesus, because the Father, the Son, they are in the secret place. They're not in the mass. See, a lot of times we confuse corporate anointing and the Spirit of God with the secret place. And we believe because we have a sense of the one, of the corporate anointing, that we also have the secret place. But that's not at all. And this is the Son of God Himself telling you how to pray. Pray to your Father who is in the secret. He's in the secret place. You're not going to just pray to the Father publicly and with somebody next to you. See, it's interesting when you get little curveballs like this in the scripture, but they're right there. They're very plain. God wants to meet you in the secret place because that's where He is for you. He is to be found by you in the secret place. And if you spend your time with noise and head noise and thought noise and you're busy and you're moving constantly, and if you're not moving, you're falling into depression, you don't know the secret place. Because every time you have the time, this is where you meet. See, you can hear a sermon like this too, and people go, you know, I've been getting into more prayer. And that's great. But I don't need to hear it. Jesus needs to hear it. And actually, Jesus, if I say that to somebody, He could say, you know what, Mike just said that, and he prayed a little bit, but he is bored stiff. He didn't meet me in the secret place. But it's interesting because the Pharisees used to pray in front of each other and in public, because they had this connection with image that they deemed is what God would require as necessary. And yet, Jesus absolutely condemned it. You know, we pray to each other many times. We do. We are so lacking intimacy. We so do not know how to spend time that the church has been conditioned. Now, I will say this. There are countries that even their culture was more quiet, and they know how to get alone with God. America is not that country. In fact, my fear is that we in America teach other countries how to be busy, just like us, with 1,000 paperbacks, social media, noise, 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 noise. And by the time we get done with them, they're as shallow as us, not meeting with Jesus in the secret place. I want to tell you, it's really, really critical, because your Father who is in secret, there is a connection God has designed for you to have with your Father. Isn't it interesting? The Father who's in the secret and the Father who sees the secret rewards there. Many Christians are walking around. They've never been rewarded. They don't have a secret place. They've never taken the time. So again, they base a lot of what they do on really bad intelligence, and they make a lot of judgment calls about their Father based on completely their lack. You don't go to the secret place, you will not do much. You don't get into beholding the glory of the Lord, you will not have the chains that you want broken today. If you're watching me on video, if you don't do this, there are chains that hold you. You will not get free. You cannot treat Jesus like you treat other things. We cannot go around saying the right things, because eventually it catches up with us. Now, I'm almost done here, and I said a simple thing. When you think about the average believer and they have time or alone time, they go nuts. They immediately start hunting for someone to connect with because they can't sit by themselves. And this displays really a radical lack. It's not a compliment, and I've done it myself. If they're still for a minute, that stillness drives them crazy. Isn't it funny that even in the heart of a believer, the enemy can have them so bamboozled and so in bondage that they can't even get to the secret place. They hate being alone. They hate silence. And they make sure that they're moving. And when they are still, they feel horrible and they run to other people. When we learn to come into the secret place, we begin to run to the presence of God. It'll revolutionize your life. I can tell many times Christians who have a secret place and not, and even myself, when I've had seasons where that's went away, you can read it. It gets real obvious. And again, many times it's like children thrashing about in a room, not understanding all the furniture that's in there, not understanding, throwing stuff around because we really don't dial in. We really don't know. Now, the body of Christ is incorporated in America. We have many buildings, many places. We have excellent, you know, we have music, excellent music. But it's funny. I believe many times as God looks even at the American church, he knows the absence of the secret place. He knows that people want to spend time way, way more with each other than with him. He understands the noise of the worship that goes up when it comes from people's hearts and mouths who don't even like the secret place, don't even believe in it. And this is really critical because I believe this is the time that we're here. But think about when you get time, what do you do and what do you want? I mean, when's the last time you yearned to be with Jesus? Now again, I want to put myself into this equation because I'm not preaching something where you go, oh my God, you people are horrible. I'm glad I never did that. No, but when's the last time you wanted to be with him when you had time? You said, I'm going to go up to the room. I want to get a lot. And in fact, I've known young believers that developed this habit early on. And they had this need. And it didn't mean they went into their room and were there all the time. But they would say, I got to get time, me and Jesus alone. I've got to talk to him. I've got these things going on. Mostly what we do now, and there's nothing wrong with me saying to you, Armand, pray for me. I got to do this. That's good. But there's the other aspect, the unseen aspect that I need to get into the secret place. God will revolutionize your life. The Father will reward you with his manifest presence. This is such a beautiful thing. Part of the reward of getting in secret with the Father is that you want to get there again. Part of the reward that the Father who is in the secret place is that he rewards you in secret and you begin to draw to that. And I'm telling you because I've had it both ways. I've been religious, I've been Christian, I've known all the right things to say, but I've also been get taken away from the secret place and we just do a bunch of religious stuff. I really believe that. But as we're about to close, it's interesting. You know, if you look at even the name bride, you understand the tabernacle was all about meeting with God. The temple, even in Jesus' time, he said, "This, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer." What is that? A place where we communicate with the Father. It's interesting. The church has become a place now to where the biggest value is we communicate with each other. Now, I believe in koinonia, fellowship, all that. But if we don't have the secret place, the quality of our fellowship with each other will be... it'll be poverty-stricken. It'll be poor. It'll be empty. As we close today, it's really simple. Getting one-on-one with Jesus. It's not, you know, it's interesting. I don't care what I've done in the past in that all that matters is what I do today and do tomorrow. I'm not going to sit around and go, you know, the secret place has gotten minimized. Because, yeah, it's good to realize, but then there's that step forward. We say, you know what? What, Lord, I need to be the man that values your presence. That needs to be my currency. I need to value that like gold. And like I said, I've seen some men of God get a hold of this. And it's not like they went into the secret place and never came down from the room. They lived, they loved, they had families. But it's interesting. The access of their life was from the place of the secret with Jesus. And it affected everything around them. When you meet a person that sits with God, there's always a depth to them that's different. I meet a lot of Christians that are saved, that are really saved, but they don't spend a lot of time with God, and it really shows. It's a heavy thing. In closing, you got to know that the Father who sees in secret and he's in the secret place, he's already called you there. It's not a matter of saying, God, do you want me to meet you in the secret? No, the Father who's in the secret. I mean, if you don't do that, where will you meet him? This is critical. What bothers me, and it shows an arrogance, the church today, we're doing everything. We're building $1 billion of real estate, schools. There's many stars in the body now where they're just stars. Everybody wants to be by them. But I really believe if the body becomes the people who get in the secret place and we behold the glory as in that mirror we talked about, then the transformation is going to come that's going to bring us to the future. But one thing with I said early on, the body shows an arrogance because oftentimes we're saying, you know, God, what's going on? Why aren't you doing stuff? God, what, you know, this and that. And it's like, you know what? You won't pass what is necessary for you to reap the result you're looking for. Whatever is necessary is going to stay necessary. God doesn't alter. God doesn't change. I believe we're going to see a launching of many believers are going to start to get into the silence of the secret place with Jesus. They're going to get direction they've never had. They're going to go, oh my gosh, I got a clarity. I can't believe how I was walking around. We're going to get people that when they got time, they're actually going to want to be with the groom, Jesus, in the secret place. Imagine telling somebody how awesome they are and special, and yet you would never give them the time of day one-on-one. Imagine that, saying, I love you. You're so special. You're amazing. And they say, so will you come and be with me? Oh, I would love to, but I got to do this, this, and this, and this. Imagine a life lived when you say, I'm in a relationship with Jesus, to where you never want to spend time with him. How does that hit you? The reason I bring that up, because we humans, we get lonely. We do. We want company. We want friends. We want intimacy. We want love. But what's interesting, as much as we complain about it, we ourselves are horrible at the same thing where it's most needed. I need to be with Jesus. I can't sit 10, 20 years and say, you know, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice, you know, to be with you alone. Otherwise, our worship services become lie after lie after lie. The reality of our life doesn't match what we say, and it just doesn't do well. But as I close today, if you've been looking for freedom from bondage, many Christians are in bondage. Many Christians need to be further delivered. They're not totally free. Jesus wants to free us to a greater degree than many of us have ever known. But spend time with him. Behold him in that mirror. Look at his glory. Behold him. To behold is to really look. And don't be discouraged, because if you've been sowing for years in nothingness, well, you're reaping a lot of nothing. So as you start to sow in righteousness, God will reward you. And first and foremost, he'll reward you with his presence. He'll reward you with a desire to be with him. And things will start to shift. But like I said, any major move in my life, any major move was always in the silent place. Always. The best things, the decisions, the ministry, the birthing of things, even miracles and moving forward with Jesus, I found in the secret place. I didn't find it in the masses ever. And in fact, if not for the secret place, I would have done nothing to this point. It's not a secret. It's just a secret place. So let's all rise and pray today. We're going to ask the Lord to move us. You know, it's a beautiful thing, redemption. I heard a word years ago by a preacher and it blew me away. And he said that the Lord has an ability to redeem what the locust has eaten in your life. And when he really redeems it, it's like it never was eaten in the first place. Dave Wilkerson said that. I remember listening to a sermon. And Dave could be a fiery prophet, passed away some years ago. And I remember him saying that, and it stunned me. And when I heard that, I thought, you know, we make errors. We, in the body, God has to adjust us. There's an incredible mercy of the Lord as he reaches out to me, to you, and he says, hey, get back in the secret place. Even at that invitation, he wants to grow us. He's not sitting there saying, you failed the secret place, you're toast, and he burns you where you stand. But he calls us in mercy, and he says, come on, get into the secret place. Get a hold of me. You're going to be surprised sometimes. But again, I always say this. I say start small. If that's what you got to do, that's fine. I ran into, when I was first saved, Christians that were praying like 5 hours a night. That was real difficult for me because I saw the distance between no secret place and 5 hours as the only alternative, but that's kind of wrong because where do you start? I would love to see Christians just take that serious 10 minutes, but turn your phone off, put it in a drawer, do something. You know what I'm saying? I've been there. Guys, some people that know me would say, Pastor Mike, preach thou, you know, redeem thyself, you know. Don't stare at your phone. And this is a reality, and I really believe it's coming to the place, and you know, you're not going to burn your phones tomorrow, you're not going to burn your iPads, but I know we're going to come to a place where it gets put in the right spot, not dominating our lives. Be encouraged today, because God loves you in a way to where he wants to make a revolution for you. Father, as we dismiss today, Lord, thank you even with the technicals. My sister Barbara, it's so good to have her know she's there, and that she, you know, was able to tell us I can't hear, and it's stuff like that that, Lord, I sometimes technology is a definite burden. Lord Jesus, I want to behold your glory. We get so busy. And then if we're not busy, the way noise is geared, our minds are going a mile a minute. We don't sit still. And Lord, it seems sometimes that that is kind of a devilish plan, because if you can't think, if you can't reflect, if your brain can't stop moving, if you're still, your mind's all over the place, then there's no stillness. Help us, help us. The currency is going to be your presence, your glory. And Jesus, you want to free up. There are believers walking in chains. They're lugging around heavy chains. They need to be freed in the name of Jesus. They are in bondage. They're on a leash. It may be 30 feet long, but Lord, even if a leash is 100 feet long, then it's only 100 feet I can go forward and I hit it. So I pray today you're gonna change the currency in the kingdom to your presence. You're going to change it, and we're dare going to try to get along with you. Lord, we're so into this duty thing that many times we pray because we think we're supposed to. And we should, and we need to, and we're supposed to, but we need to have a desire. Jesus, many of us can remember even more quiet times where we wanted to get with you. If there was time period, even if we had 2 hours and we had to do something, we'd get away with you a little bit, a half hour, an hour, whatever. There was a desire because we believed when we came into that closet that we were with you, but also that you were with us, and we knew that there would be an encounter in that alone time. Lord, this is way out of vogue, way out of style for the American church. We are full of noise. We have so many goodies that a man could literally live 100 years and never stop, all doing Christian things. But actually, unfortunately, I believe he would die the poorer man. So I'm praying a blessing as we go today. Help us to flush the noise. Help us to flush the noise. And I pray even people watching on YouTube that there would be such a place that they would get back to it. And then some, Lord, we got a whole generation of believers that are younger. They've really never known much of this, Lord. People did the secret thing in the 70s and even the 80s, but that began to die even early 90s, late 80s. And some of them have never known the quality of the secret place. But some young people have, and it's revolutionized their life. I believe there's going to be a generation, Father, of young men and women of God, and they're going to be connected to the secret place, and they're going to be beholding in the mirror. And as they do that, it's going to alter their life. It's going to alter. They're going to find things that you want them to do. They're going to find success where they go. But still the noise, and bring some silence, Father. Help us. Help us all. Help us all, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, move over the crowd who's ever watching today, even right now. Help us quiet our insights down. Jesus, to behold you for 6 minutes is worth a lot. Again, help us with quality. There's a starting point. Help us to do it realistically. And Lord, as I said earlier, help us with the quality of prayer, not just the quantity. Lord, I'm all for more quantity. We don't pray enough. But I also realize that that quality issue can be really big. It's not one-sided. Help that two-way street of communion with you. Help it. Help people to come into it in their own. In their own. Help them to grow. Lord, we're allergic to intimacy, no doubt. That's why our marriages, many are damaged, and we've lost the connection. Faithfulness is at an all-time low. Adultery is at an all-time high. We forgot how to get still. We say this even today, and you will surprise many people, even as they just start sowing those seeds. Be it little as they may, they can grow into mighty oaks. There's no doubt about it. So bless all of us as we go today. Bless every viewer we got, God. And I know what many times I realize there's many, many in this sanctuary, even that aren't physically here. Bless them. Holy Spirit, wash over us today. Bring us to the place. Bring us to the place of your presence. And move us in that, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless everybody. Good to see you.